going on, everybody? And thank you all so much for joining us here again on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, the man that unscrambles eggs, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. It's almost spring, but it already feels like spring out here in Texas. So I'm here. I'm happy. I wouldn't say happy. Almost happy. I love last-minute science projects.
Here we go.
There ain't nothing better than your kid coming home and going, "Hey, Dad, I got a science project I need you to help me with. Oh, by the way, it's due in 2 days." I'm like, "Thank you." My wife, of course, is like, "Kyle, I'm just going to let you handle that." I'm like, "I appreciate it. Thank you. I'll just handle that." Just like I handle the two businesses that I run. I handle all the payments of everything. You know, I run replacing vehicles that people keep wrecking. That's right. My wife and one of my sons have both wrecked a vehicle totaled just in the last 4 months. So that's awesome.
This is what I've been dealing with, y'all.
So, yeah. So now I got to do some science project that I don't want to do, which really means I'm doing the science project, right? Luke's there for like emotional support.
So what are you going to do it over?
It's like the layers of the inner earth, right? Like the mantle and the core and all that stuff.
Nice.
But it won't. But it'll be me doing it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, I already took science, right? I took science all through grade school. I took it in college. Like, I've done it.
Well, this is your continuing education in junior high science.
Yeah, that's right. Also, to do continuing education for real estate. I mean, it just never ends. So, y'all think that I'm laying on a couch somewhere, relaxing, reading a book on black-eyed kids. I'm not, okay? I'm doing science projects. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. It's frustrating.
But it keeps you out of trouble.
It could be worse. Oh, yeah, that's definitely. I try to stay busy. I don't know how to relax. But it's also
good. It doesn't show.
Because if I relax, that's how I start getting into trouble, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%, yes.
Yeah.
100%. Other than all the madness, everything's been going good. We have been, our friends and family out here in the panhandle been dealing with the fires. That's bad. That's real bad.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Several people have reached out to me directly and asked if we were okay. They're not really sure where we're located in Texas. We're fine. We're not anywhere near the fires. But, I know a lot of people are struggling out there.
Yeah,
so.
It's
going to be bad because if it's already happening now and we're just now getting into March, how bad and dry do you think it's going to be in June or July? Yeah,
August when it rolls around.
I mean, all the lakes around here are pretty low for this time of year.
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully we get a lot of showers in the next 2 months.
You need one now. That's what I'm screaming.
What have you been up to?
Man, oh man, not a whole lot. I got a whole bunch of stuff planned. I have to work with my son. He needs help, which he must be scraping the bottom of the bucket when he asks dad. So dad's going to show up and help as best he can. But other than that, that's about it. I've been in Galveston. I've been bouncing around. My wife's, I told you, she's been teaching for the state. So I have to travel. Or I don't have to. I just go because I can go. And then so that's about it. And then other than that, that's it, man. Just doing a little research, a little reading, getting into stuff called Lit RPG, Literary RPG Stories.
What?
Yes. They're books written as if you were listening to or reading along with a D&D adventure.
Like choose your own adventure kind of
stuff?
Yeah,
but it's not choose your own adventure. It just has everything like you would play, like your character sheet. The characters in the story know about a character sheet.
So where do you find this stuff at?
You can find it on any place you find audiobooks, any place you buy books, any of that. It's just a whole new genre. Well, I say whole new. That tells you how old I am. Lit RPG may have been around forever. All I'm letting y'all know is my dummy self just found it, and I'm really into it.
I've never even heard of it.
We're going to change that when this is over. But I got something else to talk to you about.
Okay.
A while back, I did a thing about Montana, covered some crazy, creepy stuff in Montana, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen to this. Lon has got this posted up. Instantly, a thing from the Bighorn Mountains in Montana, a screaming forest ghoul.
Okay, that sounds interesting. This sounds and terrifying great. At the same time.
All at the same time.
Yeah, lay it on me.
I lived in Montana on some land my dad owns.
Near the Dutton Ranch.
Probably so. And was hiking up a mountain, Bighorn Mountain Range, like most days. And I heard this really weird screaming coming from the other side of the mountain, away from my house and deeper into the woods. Now, it wasn't a mountain lion. It was too deep and long as it lasted. It only went for about 10 seconds. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't a bear. It kind of sounded like a human, except it was distorted. It sounded like someone was possessed by something. Sort of like what you'd hear in a horror movie. So I got up to the top of the mountain, pulled out my binoculars, and looked over in the general direction of the scream. It was there I saw a weird humanoid-looking creature. It was as pale as paper, didn't have any hair, or any clothes, or any genitals, and its arms were longer than its body. It also had huge black eyes that covered most of its face, and it was walking, but as soon as I saw it, it stopped and stared up at me. I watched it carefully for at least 2 more minutes. I remember thinking, it's staring straight into my soul. I had to look away because my eyes had started watering from not blinking. And when I looked back at it after wiping my eyes, it was gone. I couldn't see it anywhere, which made me think it was a weird hallucination or something. But illusion or not, I decided to get the hell away from this area, and I ran back home. Now, the scariest part is that 5 minutes after I walked in the door, I heard a scream again. It was much closer, and it made my ears ring this time. And now that I think about it, I remember that I could hear my dad yell at me whenever he needed help with something every other time when I was up there. So I'm pretty sure it was where I was standing when I first saw it. My dad heard it also, so it wasn't just some hallucination. And my neighbor was talking about the screams a week after it happened. Now, I've researched it as best I could, but I could never be found anything or never saw anything that was fitting this exact description. I've never seen it since. My dad hasn't either. It's one of the many reasons I moved in with my mom in Arizona. Thanks, S.
Wow.
So they witnessed it, and then it sounds like it went straight to the spot they were at after it ran off, right? Oh,
yeah. Well, man, what a strange story.
Well, you remember now the one that they had seen with the thermal here in Texas, right?
Yeah,
they,
that was pretty cool.
That's what it makes me think of. Maybe these pale crawlers or whatever these things are, that's what they're just like luring people into the woods.
That's what it seems like,
right? Exactly.
Because, like, it seems in the Northeast, the Puckwudgie stories are all about that.
Yes.
They're trying to lure you into the woods so that you can, I don't know what they do to you. They can abduct you somehow.
Take you to the Fae world.
You know, and that's a lot of the missing 411 that some of the theories over there is that people are going missing because it's due to the Fae.
Yes.
They're kidnapping people. You know, when then other theories are that it's extraterrestrial. I like the story of the Fae better, I think.
I do too.
It makes it more interesting. I think to me, it's more interesting than aliens from another world. For whatever reason, I think that the fact that it's Fae seems cooler to me.
And it may just be because we're fantasy nerds, right?
Yeah,
the whole thing, that's probably got a lot to do with it. But I'm with you. For some reason, I just like the idea of there being like alternate dimensions, fringe portal areas to where they can come in and out when they feel like it and drag you into the Fae realm. I don't know. I like that idea.
Well, and I mean, science is already, I mean, they've proven that there's multiple universes, you know?
Yes.
Parallel universes. And that's why I think that you can never find any physical Sasquatches. I think they're moving back and forth between dimensions.
And then it's where you, like, your lost socks go and people's lost cigarette lighters go. And
yeah.
And you lose keys. It ends up over there.
Yeah, that's it. That's
just
it,
big exactly. piles of it, like giant piles of garbage.
Check this out, Cam. Yeah. It says, in March 2021, I woke up in the middle of the night and went downstairs to check on my pet Irish setter. It was dark in the living room when I got there. Every light in the house was off, except for the electric night lights all around the perimeter of the downstairs and upstairs. So you can easily see things while walking around in the dark. My house is kind of small and next to a large local trailer park. To my surprise, when I got downstairs, my dog was awake in its crate and looking up at a huge 9 foot tall, hunched over dog man. The terrifying thing was towering up to the ceiling and was so tall that it was hunched over just to fit in the living room by our pet's crate. Now, I'm 6 foot two and skinny, but even I had to tilt my neck upward just to look at it. My dog was awake, staring straight up at it. I never keep my dog in the crate, but sometimes my family snatches him from me and puts him in there. Anyway, this nasty-looking cryptid had strange feet and stood only on its tiptoes. It was not flat-footed like people are. It was impossible for a person to stand this way, which made me shudder. The thing had very little fur on its body, but really only had a giant mane of hair from its head, neck, and upper back moving downward. The hair was super long, too, but the rest of its body lacked hair. Its arms were outstretched to its sides extremely far as well, because it obviously had no idea what it was like to be in my house. It must have had to feel the walls of the small house with its arms just to move around. The arms were too long and far stretched out to even be a person in an outfit. It was obviously downstairs for a while, making noise, I think, trying to eat my pet. This explains why I woke up out of nowhere like that. What was the scariest part of the dog man was that it was standing there, practically frozen in time, looking at me with its ears pointing straight up. It was processing my location and was slowly moving toward me. At first, when I saw it, it was stunned and did not want to move. But when I got closer to it, it started slowly moving towards me, and I panicked hardcore, as anyone would. Its face was the nastiest, most gnarly thing ever. Huge, elongated snout when it turned its head suddenly. It looked like something with nasty rabies or mange, and that tells me it was underground for a while, struggling or starving. Its teeth were grossly sharp. I ran as fast as possible, bumping into walls over and over with a breathing loudly while I was yelling at the top of my lungs in terror. I was falling in my socks, too, while trying to climb the stairs to wake up my relatives. My dog was just listening to everything at that point. He hardly made any noise at all because he was obviously shaken, too. When I got to my mom, she woke up screaming, too, and called the police while hiding in her room. I booked it back downstairs with some blades to find the living room empty. Then I realized it could have been in my room in this small home. So I booked it out at the front door into the night, knowing that my mom was safe with her husband, barricaded in her room, with them both yelling. I informed them in time that something was downstairs. I figured with quick thinking that all of us yelling probably could scare the thing away. I booked it out of the front door and walked about 10 miles in the night with bare necessities that I could grab in time. I was terrified and only had my blades. I'm a 26-year-old felon, and I'm not allowed to own or carry firearms. I walked away like this because I did not want to find the thing unexpectedly in my house in some random room that I did not check. I was just happy to be gone and alive while the cops checked everywhere for the giant intruder. I got lucky. After all, I was more familiar with my house than the dog man was. Anyway, the best part was for last. When I got back home, a large glass window, which was approximately 5 foot tall and 4 foot wide, was completely shattered. The thing obviously had a direct line of sight from our large backyard into my kitchen and living room, directly where the dog slept. And my family thought it was me that broke the window. Turns out that the dog man tore through our house from this one glass window. I had to yell at my family for about a year until my mom and brother admitted they were wrong and that the thing obviously existed. Finally, my dog does not run into the night anymore when I open the door to let it out of the house. Thanks for all you do, E. Okay. Well, this is a wild story. I've never heard of a dog man being inside someone's home. Could it have been some kind of crazy hallucination or something? Because when he talks about a giant dog man in the kitchen just standing there, I can't help but think of like The Howling.
Yes.
Or Dog Soldiers or something like that. That's what I'm picturing. But if it was to break the window to get into your house and that's what woke you up, I mean, they seem to think that it broke into the house to try to eat the dog. It's such a wild story. And here's another thing. You go running out of the house, you tell your mom, you run out into the street, and then for the next year or two, you're telling them what you saw was a dog man. I mean, they would have to think, like, okay, obviously our child's crazy.
Yes.
This is an insane story. You know, Luke, you had a bad dream, buddy.
I think it may have not been so physical as it was some sort of like demonic entity
that's
what or it has something, to be. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the only explanation.
Cat out of the bag. That's what it feels like every time I hear a story or read a story like that, when they just are appearing like these entities, whether it's a Bigfoot or a dog man or whatever it is appears in the house. To me, it always feels like it's something projecting is that.
It has to be because, listen, people ask me all the time. I don't believe that there's a flesh and blood shape-shifting werewolf. I just don't believe that that's a thing. That's in Hollywood. That's a movie. But now people seeing things that resemble werewolves or a demonic, a demon, like you said, that knows that you're scared of werewolves.
Takes manifesting, that shape, yes. Yes,
manifesting itself to look like that. That I believe in. But man, as far as like a lycanthrope, I don't know, man. That seems a bit much. But maybe, look, I'm dumb, so. I mean, what, you know, right? How do you explain you a dog man in someone's kitchen trying to eat their Irish setter? I mean, right.
I don't know. It's one of those things, like, physically, to me, and nobody, we're not saying that this is the way it is. I mean, at all. That's just an opinion. It just physically, I'm with you. It's so hard for me to believe that there is a 7 foot tall monster in there in your kitchen. And not just this story. I'm not just picking on this story, just any of them, like in a home that, and it, nothing happens. Right. Just an animal in general. It's so stealthful and all that. It can just walk in. I don't know. It just feels like it can do. Now, maybe that's how it got in there. Maybe it's not flesh and blood and it whoop, like just appears in there and then it is, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is something that I want to talk about real quick before we lead into the break, about a dark 7 foot tall owl man in Central Florida. Get a load of this account. It says, one of the accounts that I recently heard while listening to YouTube nearly caused me to crash my car. Now this is going to be crazy, right? It's a story of a large humanoid creature wearing what appeared to be a black cloak with an owl's face, and it was in Central Florida. So here's my encounter with a similar entity. It was an afternoon in late May of the year 2021, and I remember it was later in the afternoon, early evening, and slightly overcast, a bit of a gray day. Now, I can't tell you from my memory if it was dusk or earlier, but I live near a nature conservation area in the Central Florida area. My husband and I were very fortunate to find our property because there's very ample acreage. It's heavily wooded to the point where we can't see our neighbors or any of the lights from their homes, and we lovingly call our home the swamp. So I was outside in our driveway, which is the only cleared space on our land, save for a natural circular clearing in our woods. I was walking back to our porch when, for some reason, I was compelled to turn and look back to the tree line, which is about 100 feet away from the house. I do want to note that there was not a single ounce of fear in me. In fact, I was quite calm when I made eye contact with it.
Tough guy.
At first, I didn't register what I was looking at. I knew it was an owl, which for my woods is not an uncommon sight.
An owlin.
Right? But then it kind of shifted, and I saw more of it. And it was not just an owl. It was the head of an owl on what I can only describe as the shoulders of a human. And it looked like it was wearing a dark cloak, either made of dark foliage or feathers. And it was tall. And from the trees around it, I guessed around 7 foot or so. It just looked at me, and I looked right back at it. I looked around and blinked, sincerely thinking it was a trick of the lighting or my mind creating a thing where there was nothing. But no, when I looked back, it was still there, calm and unmoving. I was still unafraid, which is not normal for me, as I can freak myself out very easily. And for some reason, I felt another urge, this time to nod. So I nodded towards it like I was showing my acknowledgement of it. It felt natural and right to do so. I looked around and blinked, sincerely thinking it was a trick of the lighting or my mind creating a thing where there was nothing. But no, when I looked back, it was still there. And I was still unafraid, which is not normal for me, as I can freak myself out very easily. And for some reason, I felt another urge, and this time it was to nod. So I nodded towards it like I was showing my acknowledgement of it. It felt natural and right to do so. Then turned and went back inside my home. I didn't go back outside that day. But the next morning, when I did go back out and stood in the same place on my porch to look at what it may have been, and there was nothing. I could even remotely try to place as it in this area. The space where it stood was between two trees at the opening to the forest line leading back to that small clearing. But there was no low-hanging branches, no large leaves. There was nothing there that I could trick myself into believing that that's what I had actually seen. Now, I've not seen it since, either. I did some mild searching on the internet and found nothing even remotely close to it, so I'll just let it go. Until today, when I heard that story about an hour ago. Does anyone know what this might be? Has anyone else in Central Florida area seen anything like this, or anyone anywhere? Thanks, ML.
Wow.
So, a possible owl person. And folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back from that break, I'm going to dig deeper into the owl birdman sightings of crazy flying humanoids, but basically people with feathers, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Folks, I know how busy everybody is. Kyle's busy, I'm busy, we're all busy doing something, right? But neglecting and not taking care of your health is crazy. That's something that you should really do. If you don't make it a priority, it will make itself a priority, right?
And it's easy to do
now. It's easy. It's so much easier now. And what I'm talking about is AG1. It truly is something that Kyle and I do every day. This is the first thing I do. It's something that I've now done it long enough that it's basically part of my lifestyle. It's something that I have to take. It's so simple. It's so easy. Super smooth. You get your daily dose of vitamins, your daily dose of minerals, pre and probiotics. No amateur biotics around here, folks. No. Only probiotics. Only pro. Here, right? No AMI stuff. All pre-probiotics, all this stuff. It's powerful. It's so powerful you can feel it. I joke around about it as we talk about it. It is so powerful you can feel it. And I don't know what it is about this, right? But it gets me focused. It's like every time I take it, if I do miss it, I can feel it physically. I feel like mentally I can feel it. This whole thing, I feel off. It's super simple, y'all. It's just a scoop, one scoop of this beautiful powder in some cold water once a day. I do it in the morning. I fill my shaker up at night. I pop that bad boy in the fridge. In the morning, I throw the green in there. I shake that powder around like a crazy person, and then I drink it. I love it. What really set it aside for me, and I've talked about this before, is I don't like having multiples of all of this stuff I need to take. I don't want to get up in the morning and have this regimen that takes me 15 minutes. If I've got all of these vitamins and all these minerals and all of this stuff going, and I need to do this and do that, we don't have time. You could make time for it, but why when AG1 made the time for you? Super, super easy. I told y'all what I did. I jump up in the morning before I do anything. That's what I go and that's what I get. And then I got Kyle doing the cold water overnight. Now yep. Kyle pounds through
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Dude, and when we went to Colorado, I brought mine, Kyle brought his, we yep. laughed about it. It's a joke, but it is truly a thing that is part of my daily routine. And it's without
something,
it.
It's something everybody needs to try. Yes. Seriously, folks. I mean, even my skin looks better.
Yes.
I love it. If there's one product that we had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and get five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/expanded. That's drinkag1.com/EXPANDED. Check it out.
But here we go to discuss some crazy birdman and owlman sightings. Now, you'd brought it up on the break. Do you remember the owlman from over in the UK?
Yeah, I remember years ago. Don't remember how it came about. I don't remember if we had a guest on or it was just an independent episode. But I remember somewhere along the lines of owl-like men being seen somewhere in England. And I don't remember where. But it was kind of like Spring-Heeled Jack, that kind of thing, where there was like this era, this time frame where there was lots of stuff seen, phantom black cats, owl-like men, and but I don't remember the specifics of it. So I'm curious. I'm excited.
A bunch of crazy. Yeah. So it was the Owl Man of Monon Wood. So what ended up happening? The first sighting of where it first popped up that we could tell was in 1926. There was a newspaper called the Cornish Echo, and they reported on this encounter that these two boys had. And the boys, apparently, when they were even interviewed for it after, you know, it was reported, that they were terrified to even talk about it. So it wasn't like they were making it up and all super happy. They were legitimately upset. They described a very ferocious, very large bird, but it wasn't like a Thunderbird. It was like this thing had maybe had arms. It's a very strange thing. So there was a few sightings, like you brought up. There's a little flap in there of people reporting seeing this grayish black giant bird creature for a little bit. Then it kind of fell off for a little. And there was a couple of I believe they were painters, and they showed up in the 30s, late 30s, like 37, 38 in this area where these sightings had happened. And they decided to start doing some rituals. They were trying to summon this thing up. They even call them like therianthropes.
Therianthropes?
Therianthropes is what they were calling these owl creatures or these bird people. And so that's what they were looking for. That's what they were trying to find. It really wasn't, I don't guess they really popped up anything, because then you fast forward, it was like 76. In April of 76 is when they were two more came at two. So two more witnesses showed back up.
In 1976?
In 1976, yeah. So from 1920s to 1976, 50 years later, they start saying that they see what looks like an owl man flying over a church in Manwan down there.
See, I thought the sightings were way older than that. Like 1776.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, no. These, well, I'm sure there probably are a few, but this is the first that we could really see in the Cornwall area that they start. And you don't really find any crazy old sightings here, which they may just not have been documented. You know what I'm saying? Like they were probably around or whatnot. But the story goes that these two girls that were camping, they're the ones that described this huge bird. And it, again, had red eyes. You know, they get into that whole thing where it's almost Mothman like. Of course, yeah, right. You can only imagine they're freaked out about it. Then you jump forward to 1995. In 1995, the Western Morning News received a letter. And this letter, Simon Parker there, received this letter from an American tourist and had a sighting in 1989. This is what the letter says. It says, "Dear sir, I'm a student of marine biology at the Field Museum, Chicago, on the last day of summer vacation in England. Last Sunday evening, I had a most unique and frightening experience in the wooded area near the old church at Marnon, Cornwall. I experienced what I can only describe as a vision from hell. The time was 15 minutes after 9, more or less, and I was walking along a narrow track through the trees. I was halted in my tracks when about 30 meters ahead, I saw a monstrous birdman thing. It was the size of a man with a ghastly face, a wide mouth, glowing eyes, and pointed ears. It had huge clawed wings and was covered in feathers of silver-gray color. The thing had long bird legs, which terminated into large black claws. It saw me and rose floating towards me. I just screamed then, turned, and ran for my life. The whole experience was totally irrational and dreamlike. Friends tell me that there is a tradition of a phantom owl man in that district, and now I know why. I have seen the phantom myself. Please don't publish my real name and address. This could adversely affect my career, because now I have to rethink my worldview entirely. Yours very sincerely, Scared Eyewitness."
Yeah, you think?
Right? Scared out. So this person, as recent as 89, saw this. Then I started looking into more owlman and birdman. I started finding these. Of course, Pennsylvania. All right. Pennsylvania's always got weird stuff. You're going to enjoy this. And this comes from a family near Freeport, Pennsylvania, in Armstrong County. This took place on October 11th of 2013. At approximately 5:30 in the evening. The person they're talking to is named, they called DF. All right. So DF was in a recording studio there on the property, right? In his little recording studio area. Said a client was playing the piano at the time. DF walked into the adjoining kitchen to get a drink and grab him a glass of water. And so he looks out the kitchen window and he noticed a large winged being descending from the sky. Now, what he described was that of an owl man. It had wide feathered wings that had longer feathers spaced 6 to 7 inches along the bottom edge of the wings. Said the head was round with large black circular eyes, small owl-like ears, and a short hooked beak. Now he goes on, DF says that the body was 5 foot in height and shaped like that of a human being with legs, but these legs ended in three-toed taloned feet.
Wow.
Says the feathered body was light to dark tan. And this is what's great. The wingspan was 18 to 20 feet. It was a huge, impressive sight that the winged being seemed to be drawn by the piano music. And this is what DF said it felt like as it was coming down to listen. He said it landed briefly near the back of the studio, then flapped its wings. Now, we're finally getting to hear wing flaps, right? Where most of the time, they don't talk about the wing flaps. This one is saying it flapped its wings three times and then ascended quickly up into the air. DF goes on to mention the sighting to his wife and kids, who said that they should report the encounter. Now, a few days later, DF was once again in the recording studio. Another client there playing piano. He steps out, DF steps outside and notices the exact same thing descending again near the studio, except this time it notices, of course, DF outside, turns and flies off. Now, he doesn't have a cell phone, didn't have it with him at the time, didn't even mess with it. He ends up making a sketch. You can find them online. Of course, you look around and it looks like basically everything else that you have seen. When they start sketching these owl men, this is exactly what it looks like, is a giant owl man.
That's crazy. And then they would urge to report it, but like, exactly who do you report it to?
Yeah, who are you going to tell? Us.
I mean, next thing you know, you're going to get locked up.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
You know, like, they don't do that so much anymore, but back in the day, if you walked, like, they would send an ambulance.
Oh,
and they would,
yeah,
put you in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
And they'd send you off.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yes. Well, and it lends to, or always leans towards, the Mothman. When you start listening to these things and these flying humanoids, everybody instantly goes into the Mothman. But what if Mothman was really an owl man?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right?
Because like, no one describes the Mothman as looking like a moth.
No. They just give it to him because of the eyes, the whole deal. So it could be. There is one here. Lon's got this one posted because Lon is the encyclopedia of like Mothman stuff all through Chicago, the whole deal. They've done so much work in there. It's crazy. This one came from Alsip, Illinois. It says, I recently came across your article on the Chicago Owl Man, and I, along with another witness, have seen this creature or one similar. This was somewhere between 2001 and 2004. We were quite young at the time, and this was in Alsip, Illinois, right by the intersection of 128th Place and Cicero.
Cicero.
Yep. There you go, Cicero. So maybe y'all know where it's
at. That's where Al Capone was from. It's from Cicero.
Oh, great. Well, this is an intersection there. So it goes on here saying, yeah, 128th Place in Cicero. So it says, I even have screenshots of when I casually brought up the encounter in 2015 to other witnesses to corroborate, to make sure we had the, you know, they could both remember right and all this stuff. It says, I only had a silhouetted view, but I can best describe the creature as large, about the size of a large human man, massive wings that it held up in a defensive pre-flight posture out from its sides, and a human-like head that seemed to have no distinguishable features, save for two very large, almost glowing yellow, owl-like eyes. Says the creature sifted through the hedge bushes and came up to the bay window of the room we were occupying, making a loud noise as it slammed or pressed its body up against the window, its eyes staring right into us in the room. This creature nearly took up the bay window's whole space, and it stayed there once it hit the window, unlike an owl who accidentally flew into it. This was no regular owl. It was much too large, as the silhouette was massive and the eyes were the size of baseballs. Being young, my friend and I quickly vacated the room in terror and alerted my sleeping father, who immediately searched the perimeter of the house, yet nothing was found. I nearly teared up reading the witness accounts on this website as it struck very close to home to me, as the image is still burned into my mind to this day. So if you need any more information, I would happily help out to assist.
Wow.
This is one of those things too, when you have those, I'm not disregarding this, but when as a child, it leaves like a stain on you, like a lasting impression, whether it's real or not, much like we've discussed way in the past numerous times about the sightings that happened in South Dakota with the kids in kindergarten thinking that the Bigfoot came up.
Right.
And then realized, oh yeah, you know, it was all a joke, but they didn't know it. They never told the kids. This possibly could have been, but maybe not. I mean, we don't know, but it is one of those that it burns into you. But again, this is a giant owl, but they report with baseball size eyes.
Right. And of course it does change you, especially as a child, because you're told, you know, go to bed. Yeah. Monsters aren't real. There's nothing in the closet. There's
nothing's
no boogeyman
in
your bed. And then all of a sudden there's a 7 foot tall owl man
outside your window.
I mean, it's, you know, and there's lots of people that think that the owl man is simply just extraterrestrial grays trying to make you believe that they're an owl.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole, I can't remember the guy's name that wrote a book about that years ago, back like when we first started, like back in 2012, he had a book. We talked to him. You were going to tell your mother's story to him.
Yeah, I forgot.
Mike Clellan.
Yeah.
That's his name. He wrote a whole book on the extraterrestrial grays manipulating your mind to make you think that they were an owl. And I remember you telling a story where your mother said she went to go get her mail or something.
Yeah, she saw one down by her mailbox that she says was abnormally large.
Like 4 foot tall or something crazy, standing in the road. And you're like, Mom, that's not.
The only problem is they brought her back. If they took her, they brought her back. They should have kept her.
That's not, you know, owls don't get that big in Texas, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do get apparently a little lippy. Listen to this story here. It says, I was around 10 years old, and it was late at night. My mom was just finishing up the dishes when suddenly someone knocked on the front door. Well, my mother dried her hands off on the dish towel and walked towards the door, and the impatient person started knocking louder. When my mother opened the door, in walked a police officer. He came in and closed the door behind him. I'm sorry to intrude, ma'am, but can I please sit down? The cop asked her in a nearly panicked voice. Yes, but is everything okay? She asked. And he walked towards the table and took a seat. Something happened, he said. So my mom turned, looked at me and said, Sweetie, this is your Uncle John, she told me. The cop turned and looked at me like he just realized I was there. I didn't say anything, and he and I just sat there staring at each other. I knew he was nearly scared to death, and I wanted to know why. Mom went to pour him some coffee, and when she came back and placed it on the table in front of him, he reached out and grabbed her arm. Please say a prayer to God for me, he pleaded. Please, I don't want to die. What happened to you, she asked. And this is what he told her. He was driving along a country road where the ranches and farms are. It was part of his job, I guess. It was night, obviously, and his headlights were on. When he drove around the corner of the hill, something big was in the middle of the road. He slowed down, and as he got closer to it, he said it looked like the back of a giant man wrapped in a thick cloak. So he put the cruiser in park, rolled down his window, and had the spotlight on this guy. He thought the tall man was in some sort of trouble because he was just standing there, and his shoulders were shaking weirdly. My uncle called out to him and didn't get a response. He was about to get out of his cruiser when just then the tall guy turned around to face him. When that thing turned, it had the body of a large bird and the face of a man. It cursed at me, then spread out its wings and took flight and flew towards me. I put it in drive, and I've never driven so fast in my life, Uncle John told her. Nowadays, when I see Uncle John, I always want to ask him about what he saw and where, but I don't want to offend him. Mom never talks about anything paranormal. She says such things shouldn't be repeated. Sorry, Mom, but I'm repeating it,
So the cop saw.
This thing flew at him, cursed him with a man's face and a bird's body, cursed him, and then flew at him.
Wow.
And shook the dude up completely. Now, it doesn't ever say what it said. Is it cursed? Did it cast a curse on him? Did it call him some foul language? I mean, like, we don't know what the curse was. But apparently this encounter was enough to shake a guy down. Now, here's what I think, too. In my mind, it doesn't say when it happened, but in my mind, I like to think that it happened like in the late 50s, 60s, somewhere where, the, you know what I mean, where they don't really, yeah, it's right. The old cruiser and you got the old, just the old school stuff. When you're out by yourself, there's no lights. I don't know. For some reason, to me, that just makes it a little more unnerving as we go along with it.
Yeah.
But again, another crazy owl man sighting in the middle of the road. Of course, we always know this, folks. If this show has taught you nothing else, and you're driving along some back road in the dark, and your headlights illuminate something in the middle of the road that seems large and unnatural, it is large and unnatural. Just leave. Just leave. Let it end right there. Don't continue any further. Brett, I got one here for you from Tejas.
Okay.
This happened January 1st, 1976, near Harlingen, Texas.
Oh.
Tracy Lawson, 11, and her cousin Jackie Davies, 14, were playing in Tracy's backyard in the area in the Rio Grande Valley. And as they looked out onto a plowed field beyond the yard, they noticed an unusual object standing about 100 yards out in this area in a borrow pit on an irrigation canal. Says Tracy went inside her house to get the binoculars, right?
Yeah.
Through which she observed a, and here's a quote, horrible looking black bird of extraordinary size, over 5 foot tall. Its wings were folded around its body, and the bird was staring at the girls through large, dark red eyes. Get a load of this. Attached to a gray gorilla-like face. Its head was bald, and it had a beak at least 6 inches long. It made a loud, shrill ee sound. Says the bird or whatever it was lost to view for a few moments, reappearing on the northeast corner of the property, its head poking above a small clump of trees. The girls then fled inside and told Tracy's mother and father, of who, of course, didn't believe them. The next day, Jackie's stepfather, Tom Walden, found strange tracks, three-toed tracks, 8 inches across and square at the end, pressed in an inch and a half into the hard ground. Stan Lawson also noted how oddly the family dog started behaving after this, that it cowered inside the doghouse all day, leaving it only at supper time when it bolted into the house and had to be dragged out. That night, Lawson thought he heard large wings scraping across the bedroom window, but whatever caused the sound left no trace of its passing.
Hmm.
So, again, the dogs know, right?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, small dogs especially can fall victim to owls.
Oh, yes. But when you have a large dog and it's getting all geeked out, that's an awful large owl.
Yeah.
So, again, now we've got one, and the girls, but this seems more like a blackbird, like a giant crow, but it has a gorilla-like face. Now imagine if Bigfoot could fly.
Bat squatch. And there's some stories of bat squatch being seen.
Piranaconda.
Yeah.
Right? That one. Here's a bird man near Colombia, or in a little town in Colombia. I would love to tell y'all which town, but
Medellin.
It's Barranquilla, I believe, there in Colombia. This happened quite some time back, over 10 years ago this took place. Says, I'm skeptical about a lot of things, but this, I'm absolutely sure that what I saw was real. I was camping with my Boy Scout troop in a not-so-friendly place. It's very hot, very rough terrain, awfully humid, and our troop was more like military service than scout life. It was kind of far away from the main road, and the main base was in a tree-covered hill. I think that could be worth noted that in less than 5 kilometers from an indigenous sacred site known as the Sacred Territory of the Creator, and it is a sacred site too, I guess I'm sure after what we're about to read here. I don't know, since the tribes that inhabited that area were forced by the Spanish to abandon their belief, tradition, and languages, so there's a lot of things we don't know about them, even I being a descendant of them. It was 3 p.m. We send 3 people to do the dishes after lunch. There was a small lagoon 5 to 10 minutes downhill. It shouldn't take more than a half hour for them to be back. An hour passes. They haven't come back. Knowing them, surely they're just having a trivial but boring gossip conversation. But as a patrol leader, I have to go call them back. They didn't respond to whistles, so I personally went down the hill to find them. Now, the way to the lagoon is mostly a 2.5 foot wide path between a steep hill and a dry river with dense vegetation and closed curves. I was walking carelessly until I noticed something behind a curve. At first, I thought it was just a really massive vulture, but I felt uneasy, so I started going back in silence until I stepped on a dry branch. After the crackling, This thing extended its vulture-like wings, showing a very muscular, naked, human-like back, and then a head and face that watched me. Then it took off with a sound more like that of a helicopter than a bird. Nonsense, I thought. There must be a rational explanation. Maybe it was just my imagination. I arrived to the lagoon, and effectively, they were having the most boring and dumb of conversations. I told them to pack everything and started going back to the campsite when all the troop come out of the tree-covered area, the lagoon is in a clearing, and told me that I was taking too long. My encounter with the birdman shouldn't have taken more than 5 seconds, I thought. Anyway, there was a very cocky boy in the troop that said, "I'll go first," and entered alone into the woods. 5 seconds later, I heard the same helicopter-like sound, and the boy came running from the woods, hyperventilating and shouting, "I saw a man with wings." Everyone else laughed, but I didn't say a word. M.
Wow.
So, a crazy one there. Now, we're going back to the UK. Circling back to the UK near Calne, Wiltshire, on a road. It says, "I and my friend Julian on the nighttime in July in 2012 were driving."
Oh, it's a recent. Really recent.
Yes. To drop his sister off at a party. And after we dropped her off, we went to drive back to his house before we had to pick her up again. While driving back, we were listening to music and having a good laugh until we noticed a man walking in the road covered in long feathers, similar to swan feathers. We couldn't make out a face, but we saw white legs covered in feathers and a body, again, covered totally in feathers. My mate beeped and swerved around the figure while I looked back to see him. I couldn't see anything. In the panic of thinking that we may have hit it, we turned around to go back, but there was nothing. No sign of feathers, no blood, nothing. We turned back again, going even slower this time with the windows open, and again nothing. Neither of us imagined it was what we both saw, but the exact same thing. So we soon forgot about what had happened and only mentioned it to each other as a memory. A few years later, we got to chatting to an old friend, and he said that he had lived there in Wiltshire, not too far from where we had seen what we had seen. I mentioned that he lived near a spooky road, and he replied with, "Birdman?" This got us talking further into what we had seen, and it conspired that we all had seen the same thing on different days, that it's well known that there's a Birdman in the area.
Birdman is in New Orleans. Right? He's down there with Manny Fresh, BG, Juvie.
He flies in all weather. Yeah,
Cash Money Records. You know all that weather. Birdman?
Yeah, flies in all. And there's more sightings in and around that area, that there is a local legend of the road being haunted by a person in white. One lady in this area and her, said her husband has seen Birdman twice and her son-in-law has seen him once.
So I wonder why just in certain areas, you know, like again, like we talk about the Chicago Mothman sightings or Owlman sightings, Birdman, whatever, the flying humanoid, there's like a wave of it happening in and around Chicago. And then this part of England, you're talking about, lots of people have seen it. There's folklore, there's legends, lots of people. It's not just one person making up these stories. Why are there so many people seeing these things? And what are these things?
That's a great question. It's funny that we get this variance, right? Of the, like you said, the Birdman, the Mothman. We get some that look like they're scaly. You get these different variances. Is it how we interpret them? It's what I want to know. Or is it really like, are there different species and different branches of these crazy flying humanoids? Or is it simply, it speaks to us? Whatever it is, it speaks to us. And it just takes the form of almost like we give it that form. I don't know. I don't know what it could possibly be. Because like you had mentioned before, there's no way it's flesh and blood.
No, but perhaps it's something else. Maybe it's an angel.
It could be.
Maybe it's a fallen angel.
It very well could be, yeah.
You know, because when you think back to the, like, look at ancient Egypt, Osiris, right? It's a bird-headed god.
Yes.
It has. So, like, maybe they were seeing them way back when.
Yeah, maybe they've always been.
And that
been
was just
the watchers.
The depiction of that's the only way or the best way they had to describe it.
It might be. Folks, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap this puppy up. Y'all are listening to Expanded Perspectives. So I hope you enjoyed the strangeness. If you have any crazy bird man or owl man or any kind of flying humanoid man, any kind of crazy humanoid flying sightings, let us know about it. Send it to us. We'd love to read it. We'd love to hear it.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm fascinated by the subject. I would like to see something like that.
Well, remember we talk about the Thunderbirds, and I always like, I wish, here's, I think, what would be the most fun: to be somewhere out in like West Texas on a hunt or just hiking or anything down there and find a feather, but the feather's about 4 foot long.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be insane?
Would that, I think that would be the coolest of all the sightings, would just be like, look at this giant feather. Like, what did this come off of?
Well, I have a family member, and you know him really well, who was hunting in Alaska, and he swears that he saw an eagle, but it was the biggest eagle.
Oh yeah.
He's ever seen. He said it was impossibly large. And this is a guy who's very versed in the outdoors.
Yeah, so much so that they don't even talk about it in this way of it being strange. Just like, I don't know what it was, but this thing was huge.
Right. So the stories of the Thunderbird, I like that. Some people think that it's just the condor, the South American condor that's moved up and is in parts of Texas, Arizona. Other people think it's an exotic pet that somebody let loose. And then other people describe it as being otherworldly. Like, no, man, this thing's three times the size of a condor.
What I like about some of these stories is we actually have reports of hearing flapping wings. Most of the time, you don't ever, like when they're flying, it's, look at all the reports that we get to where they're just like sailing or just gliding. It's like we don't ever even hear them or even reported of them flapping their wings. At least this time it's flapping. People could hear it. I mean, multiple reported hearing it and seeing it.
Yeah, and I think it's odd that people have sightings of flying like pterodactyls and stuff, and the what they see looks like what we thought dinosaurs looked like, mm-hmm. when in reality now we know that they most likely had feathers, the pterodactyls and stuff like that did. So why are they seeing something that they saw in a book as a child, and it's incorrect and it's manifesting itself that way? I don't know.
It's like, that's what makes me think, that right there is what makes me think that it's showing itself to us in a way that we interpret it, that we can comprehend it.
Right. So like when I was a kid, I had several nightmares about aliens, right? Like extraterrestrials. Now, I don't think that I was abducted or anything. It was probably because I saw what that looked like in a book.
You like,
and so when I had a nightmare, I was seeing what I saw in the book.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, could people become confused by stuff like that? Because your mind is really powerful.
Well, mine's not. Maybe yours is.
No, mine's not either. But I'm just saying, like, you can look at something just in passing, not even dwell on it, and you might dream about that to this day.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, just out of the blue.
I just think it's some way the way we interpret it, because it's, I don't know. But the idea, I think it's the full idea of there being like a species.
Of owl people?
Of owl people or bird people. It's just the greatest. I don't know. I just love it.
You remember that story we did, and I think I've done it twice now because so many people liked it, of that somebody from Kentucky.
The bird family?
Yeah, sent us that book that had that story. Now, obviously, I don't think the story is real.
I don't know, but that's a heck of a story.
But the story is amazing about the bird family, right? These people, they kind of kept to themselves. They looked really odd, almost bird-like in appearance. And people could see them like roosting in their house. And
like, yes. And when they're like, they went in, there's like straw all on the floor.
Yeah.
Like everything.
And,
yeah.
And like bones of small creatures and
it's
stuff.
It's just so
like,
crazy, like, but I love
droppings,
it.
You know?
I love it.
It's just creepy.
It makes it great. It's one of those stories that, like you said, I don't know and I don't want to know. I just love that story because I love the idea of bird people.
I like the idea of it too. Okay, folks, I got an announcement.
Here we go.
It's not a rant, but I want to explain what's going on, because I know there's a lot of people that have been wondering, and we want to apologize for the confusion. It's been a mess. I'm talking about Expanded Perspectives Elite. Now, in case you don't know, we do another podcast called Expanded Perspectives Elite, and it's just like Expanded Perspectives. It's an hour long, same format, same everything. It's just hidden behind a paywall, and you have to pay to get those episodes. Well, we've been doing the podcast for almost 11 years. We've been doing the Elite podcast for 9 years, and way back when, There wasn't that many podcasts and there wasn't that many services that provided a way to hide your RSS feeds unless you use some kind of subscription service. So back then we went with a company called Wishlist Member. And the reason we chose that, there were only a couple, like I said, there was Wishlist Member, there was Member Mouse. Patreon existed, but it wasn't the platform that it is today. And so two other people that we knew that also podcast, they used Wishlist Member. And so we're like, fine, we'll use what they use. They seem to like it. And it worked fine. At the time, it was perfect, right? It did what we needed it to do. But it's not a seamless service like so many services are today.
It's like a bicycle compared to a car.
Yeah. So you'd have to go through all these processes to get access to a secret RSS feed. And then once you plug that into your player, then you were able to get elite episodes. And for 9 years, it's worked pretty good until the last 12 months or so. We started experiencing more and more problems with the thing. There'd be missing episodes. Episodes wouldn't release for whatever reason. I would re-upload them. It wouldn't work. Some people were getting them. Some people were not getting them. Signing up was difficulty. Some people, they did it no problem. Some people, they had to email me and I had to help them through it. And there was a couple of times where even that, I couldn't get it to work. And then it was just the amount of time I spent trying to deal with all that is the whole reason we hired Mary, is because I didn't have enough time to do all this tech support. So fast forward to recently, and the problems are, they've persisted. They've just gotten worse. And I'm not talking bad on Wishlist Member, but it no longer works for us. So for you elite members that haven't been getting episodes regularly or having problems downloading them and stuff, I'm like, we know, we understand. So we've made the switch. We are starting, or we already started, a Patreon page. So now, if you want to follow Expanded Perspectives Elite, I suggest you go over to Patreon. I'll put show notes to it. I will be moving episodes from our previous cache over to Patreon. So if you sign up now, you won't see all the episodes. They're not there. So what this means is, so people that are already elite members, you already have access to all, the entire catalog. You can download all of them, whatever. But just so you know, in about a month, those aren't going to be there anymore. And we're also not going to be posting new episodes over there anymore. We're going to be posting them on Patreon. And for you new members that are signing up for Patreon, don't fret. I'm going to slowly move all the episodes over. Not slowly, but quickly I'll be moving all the episodes over there. And for the next month, you'll be able to download the entire back catalog. But that also will be changing. Because about sometime, probably maybe the beginning of April, maybe mid-April, we will be separating those into different tiers. So you won't be able to have access to the entire back catalog unless you're in that tier, if that makes sense. And it seems like the new program is working far better. And so if you want to support the show and you want to become an elite member, just go to Patreon. I'll put links to it in the show notes. If you have any other questions, just email us, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. And I can explain it better. Cam, you think it's going to be better, right?
Oh, 100%.
It's just been a hassle. It's something that, you know, change is difficult. You don't like the change. But then now that I've signed up and done it all, I'm like, man, we should have done this 6 years ago.
Well, and I like it because it allows us to do, we could interact more. We could do more. With this stuff that we were using, it was kind of, we didn't realize how much it was holding us back from being able to put more things out and it not be such a trouble. Like, it's just so much more flawless in the way it can go out. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and so like the different tiers, you're still going to be just $5 a month. You'll get access to Expanded Perspectives Elite for a higher fee. I don't remember. I think it's going to be around $10 or $10. You'll be able to get access to the entire back catalog, as well as access to ad-free shows, as well as
early release,
discounts to live events, discounts on merch, things like that. They're going to be coming down the road that we haven't got to. So it's a transition. If you go over there now, there's probably everything from 2022 current is up, and then some of the back ones. But like I said, I'll be adding new shows over there daily. So if you want to check it out, go to Patreon, search up Expanded Perspectives Elite. You'll see it pop right up. I'll put links to it in the show notes. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, feel free to email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. And let's not forget about our sponsor, AG1. If there's one product we had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. That's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. You have to go to drinkag1.com/expanded. That's drinkag1.com/expanded. ED. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
Oh, just a little work. That's about it. Probably get outside. I need to mow. Definitely need to mow. The yard has gotten crazy. But nothing real major. What about you? Got anything major planned?
Well, I've got to get rid of the science project. I got to finish moving episodes over to Patreon. I have to do continuing education.
So really not much. And I see what you got going on.
Some other stuff, but that's about it. Never ends, folks. Never ends. I hope everybody out there has a good one. Till next time, folks, that's all the time we have. Please be safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.